We are in the middle of a series in Hebrews, okay? And Hebrews is written to a primarily Jewish population. Jewish Christians that try to reconcile their Jewish faith, all that they knew about God, with this new coming of Jesus. And so the person that's actually writing this letter, we don't know who it is, remember? We just don't know who wrote it. We really don't even know when it was written. We kind of have a couple of dates as to when it could have been written. And they are second-gen Christians, meaning they didn't walk directly with Jesus, but they are disciples of the disciples and the apostles. So within this teaching, we're going to learn about Jesus is Sabbath. You guys ready? Did anybody listen to the lyrics of the song that was just playing during communion? If you didn't, here they are. Think about this if this is you this morning. Is anybody tired this morning? Does anybody lack rest this morning? The verse goes like this. If I gained the world, would it be worth the price to work these hands to death and not be satisfied? If every effort brought another sleepless night, I'd be so tired. I have strived enough to know that this divide could never be repaired through countless second tries. Still, I stay the course, avoiding what is right. Now I am so tired. I'm just so tired. I have traded cherished truth for worthless lies, raging through the earth for treasure I couldn't find, wallowed in the mud for nothing but my pride, and I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. And here's the longing. I just want to live in peace. And I'm struggling to believe that letting go will give me peace. Is that anybody in the room this morning? I find that can be us as Jesus people. And I definitely find that to be true of us that don't know Jesus in this moment. There is a whole group of Jesus people way back in the day, in the Old Testament times, and they were a captive in Egypt. They were slaves. They had been enslaved, and if you look through the history, it's crazy because they were actually enslaved by poor circumstances of a famine that happened. And one of their own good, well-meaning people said, look, just, you'll be okay, we'll take care of you with food. Anybody heard of Joseph and his amazing Technicolor dream coat? Okay? Joseph's biblical is Technicolor dream coat. Yeah, that's biblical too. It was a coat of many colors. All right. But Joseph ends up in this position of authority, and he is this Jewish man. And he ends up enslaving his entire people in a moment of crisis that they didn't realize this is what this was leading to, but they ended up just giving themselves over to this kingdom. And they became enslaved, so their basic needs would be met. And this slavery continued through Egypt, and God rose up a guy named Moses. And Moses went and freed this entire nation of Israel out of captivity from Egypt. And Moses' task was to take them to this place called the Promised Land. And the Promised Land was a place that was sweet. Like, there was no need that they had there. Everything was there. Everything was provided there. And this was the promise. We're going here. Everything's going to be better for us. Everything's going to be more peaceful for us. There's going to be rest here. Well, along the way, they were being led by God through incredible means, through a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of smoke by day. Pretty miraculous happenings. Well, the people started to complain. They're going to this promised land. and they start to complain. They start complaining about food. So God provides everything they need. They started complaining about the leadership. You guys don't do that here, do you? Liars. Some of you do. Yeah, it's all right. I get it. I hate me too. I'm kidding. So God provided all these needs along the way as they're going. Step by step by step by step. And this people that were freed continued to complain and say, we were better off when we were slaves to Egypt. When we were slaves to Pharaoh. That was a better life for us. Any chance they got, they would take and worship other gods. Gods that they crafted out of their own hands. Gods that they crafted out of their own minds. Moses went away for a time to be with God, to hear from God, to come back and give revelation to the people. And instantly they said, Moses is gone, we need to worship something. All the while not getting it, not getting their responsibility to their God. All the while not understanding who it was that was actually leading them, where it was that he was actually taking them. And they start crafting this calf out of gold in a fire. And Moses comes back to just complete rebellion against God. This is a history of these people. This is some of the things that we were reading about last week as we were reading all these Old Testament passages and listening to Psalms. And in fact, it's some of our text this morning. If you guys have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews 4, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. If you guys have your devices, there's awesome Bible apps out there that are going to be your best friend. And did anybody start reading Hebrews that hadn't been reading Hebrews previously? Yeah? This is awesome. This is good. And the other 80 of you? No? You're already reading it? Where? You guys were already... Good. You guys are on board. I like it. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for the clarification. So listen to this. This is actually God's promise to us. And it's the same promise that he had to the Israelite nation as he got them out of captivity. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard the good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is today. God announced through David much later in the words already quoted, and this is coming from Psalm 95. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, I want to pause the story here. Moses was leading these people. These people became so stubborn and so obstinate. These people became a people that didn't respect God or anything that he had to say. So what happened was this generation of Israelites never actually got to enter the promised land that God was leading them to. because they continued to buck against everything that he said, everything that he asked of them to do, every place he asked them to go. He asked them to take the promised land, and they looked at the promised land and said, "Oh, it's too scary. We can't do that. We can't go there. We'll be defeated." So then, forever then, they roamed around the desert. They never got to enter the land that God asked them to take, asked them to just be in. They never got to it. Their generation ended up dying off, never tasting the promise because they did not believe the living God. They did not have faith that God was who he said he is. Now, I know some of us, we get to this point in our lives, and we get to this point, and we like to have this really pie-in-the-sky idea of who Jesus is and who God is, and that God would never allow anyone to not experience his grace through heaven. Right? I have a friend, and that is her issue. She believes that everybody at the end is just going to be with God. Throughout Scripture, you see that that's not true. God's promise is for everyone, but not everyone takes God's promise. Does that make sense? God's call for them to know him and to be with him is for everyone, but not everyone takes that call. Is that making sense? It's a hard concept. Because we want to believe, oh, you know, everybody's just going to be on the other side of heaven. We'll just all be there. We're just all going to make it. And God's saying that's not true if you don't abide in me. So let's continue. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, Joshua actually took the reins from Moses. And he's actually the person that led the people into the promised land. The people that would actually obey God and listen to him and do what he's asking them to do. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would have not spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fail. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. For the Israelites on their way to the land of Canaan. For David, who composed Psalm 95, for the writer of Hebrews and his readers, and for us today, the promise of God is firm. And it exists today. It's still active. This does not mean, however, that God is obligated to fulfill his promise when faith is lacking. It's a hard concept. Does that mean when you doubt God, you won't receive the rest? You won't receive the promise? I don't believe that's what it's talking about. When you have moments of doubt, there's days where I look at this faith thing and I say, there's got to be something different than this because this is awful. Anybody else? Let's just be blunt, shall we? There's days where I wake up and I said, no, this has got to be a farce. And this is me as a pastor. And then usually what happens is God shows up in my world almost immediately, sometimes within hours, sometimes within days, and shows himself in a real way, an undeniable way that says, okay, God, you're right, man. I get it. But sometimes there's those doubts, and I don't believe that we lose God's promise for having doubts. If you have doubts, ask the question. God will answer it. God will show you through his Spirit. God, what do you mean by this? Help me believe. Help me understand in this. God is going to answer that prayer like none other. How do you know, Adam? Because he does it with me time and time and time and time again. He's done it with you. And as we've talked about, those are some of those standing stones that we have in our world. When we get to the moments of, this is all fake, this is all a farce, we look back in our lives where we discernibly see God here, 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 and say, oh, but what about these times? What about these times? When man fails God by not believing in his word, God turns the promise into a threat and a curse, as he did during Israel's journey in the wilderness. After comparing the Israelites who wandered in the desert and the recipients of his epistle, the writer of Hebrews confidently asserts, "For only we who believe enter his rest." He does not use the future tense, "will enter." Okay? A lot of us are sitting here holding on, waiting for heaven to come at some point. When we all get to heaven. Anybody sing that old tune? You know, come Lord Jesus. I get it. I get it. But what we fail to see is that when we say yes to Jesus and we are actively in this discipleship with Jesus and sitting at his feet, the kingdom becomes tangible now. Life in Christ is real in the here and now. The kingdom of heaven, what does Jesus teach us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Those things are possible now. Now it's going to come at a cost to you because God's going to call you to do those things and be those things and live those things and love the unlovable. He's even going to call you to love the lovable. Kingdom is possible here and now. And that's what the writer's saying. We will enter. He says, we who believe enter. And thus affirms that God's promise has become reality according to his divine plan and purpose. At the moment, in principle, but not yet in full realization as we enter that rest. The rest promised in Psalm 95 and explained in verse 4:10 is a copy of God's rest. This rest is attained by personal repentance and dedication to be obedient to God. There are some of us in this room today that are skipping that step or attempting to. You've been hanging out with us for a long time, or you've been hanging out with us just for a little while. You've been hearing all the things. You've been hearing all the great things that Jesus is. You've been hearing who Jesus is. You actually really like the movement of God that you see within our body of Whitewater. You like the spirit that you see within us, and you continue to just kind of dance around in circles when it comes to living a changed life and being obedient yourself. And it's difficult for us, isn't it? It's like the song was saying, I'm just so tired. Life doesn't make sense. Life doesn't add up. Why does it look like this? Why can't it look like this? And usually when we counsel with one another and then we just hang with one another and we talk about who Jesus is and where Jesus is and how Jesus is in our worlds, it continually points to loving others. It continually points to living a life, being transformed and being obedient to the Word of God. And that's when we hit up the, well, yeah, but I don't have time for that. Adam, if you only knew how I fear being real with people. Adam, if you only knew how I fear life change, because this is all I've ever known. Adam, if you only knew the dark skeletons in my closet. And we dance around this thing. We dance around the rest and the promise that God gives us. And there's nothing else I know how to offer. In my doubting moments of looking for something else other than this Jesus thing, other than this living in community with you people, That was a joke, thank you. I'm never coming back here. And you having to live in community with me. If there was any other way, again, like I've continued to say, I would tell you, if I found fresh bread and fresh water somewhere else other than Jesus, man, I'd be talking about it from this stage. I'd be fired. Right? But there's nothing else that's going to bring this peace to your world in this moment. There's nothing else that's going to make sense of the things in your world that don't make sense right now. There's nothing else, no other life, no other lifestyle, no other person, no other book, no other anything other than Jesus that's going to make this make sense. And the beautiful thing is Jesus knew that. God knew that. Hence the reason for him bringing us this rest, wanting the best of the best for us and his people. From the beginning of time, we watch this God chase after his people and us just stiff arm him the entire way. Nah, I got this. Check this out. I'm going to make this life workable. Hold my beer. Watch this. Right? And it doesn't make sense. The rest promised in Psalm 95 and explained in 4:10 is a copy of God's rest. This rest is attained by personal repentance and dedication to be obedient to God. When we rest from our evil works, evil is anything outside of the realm of God and what he says about life. Evil is anything outside of that realm of who he says you are, of how he says you are. When we rest from this evil, that the Sabbath rest is granted to us, the people who claim Jesus. And God commands us to remember the Sabbath day, as he did when he created everything, by keeping it holy and referring to the creation, referring to creation week. And his rest on the seventh day instructs us to follow his example. I want to point out something here. The noun rest does not convey the thought of idleness. I watched this awesome video produced by an atheist this morning. That's what I do with my Sunday mornings. How about you? Okay. I watched this awesome video, and it was talking about Sabbath. And it was talking about Sabbath in the realm of kitchen appliances. Does anyone have a stove that has a Sabbath setting on it? I do too, right? Never knew why it was there for. I saw a Sabbath setting. I'm like, does it not cook pork then? I'm confused. Like, can I not put pork chops in my oven? Can I not eat shellfish in this thing? Like, what is this very Jewish oven that I have? Okay? And the Sabbath setting is because man took Sabbath and made it so warped and so weird. They would make it so where you couldn't walk X amount of feet. They would make it so you couldn't do any kind of strenuous activity. They would make it so turning a knob on your stove counted as work. So the geniuses, mine is a Bosch, what kind do you have? Samsung? These geniuses come up with a Sabbath setting so you can trick God and act like you're not really working. With these ovens, you can actually go and they have a delay system on them, some of them I was reading, and you go and turn the knob, and it will not start heating up for 20 minutes. So there wasn't an instant action, like, well, I really didn't do anything. I just turned a knob. Just strange things that are in our heads. And Jesus encountered it when he healed someone on the Sabbath. In Scripture, you read, he heals someone on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees were just lit up by this. They were angry about this. And Jesus said, which one of you, if your donkey goes and falls in a pool of water, wouldn't go get the thing out on the Sabbath? And you're busting my chops for healing someone, restoring their health, restoring their limbs, restoring their sight. It's crazy how it's been warped. And I actually, as a pastor, I've been taught so many things on Sabbath. You shouldn't do anything on a Sabbath. You shouldn't do anything. The noun rest does not convey the thought of idleness, but rather of peace. It stands for the consummation of a work accomplished and the joy and satisfaction attendant upon this. Such was its prototype in God. This rest, this peace that we experience from being right with Jesus, this peace that we experience from being right with our Creator, who we have stiff-armed from the very beginning of time, who we do at times and occasions now. A couple weeks ago, I told you about, or maybe it was last week, I don't know, about my mother and her health, and about my brother and his health, and it's major health things going on in their worlds. And it's easy for me to look at that and not feel a sense of peace. And not be at rest in what God's doing there. And I operate on the assumption of something like this: well, God gave my brother cancer. Has anybody ever thought something like that? Well, God's doing this to us, or God's... And that's not a restful thought. That's not a peaceful thought. It's not a truthful thought either. God's not doing these things to us. God's not punishing us and putting these things in our way. God may be allowing these things to happen in our world. So then I go and I have lunch with my brother this week. And we met in Loveland. He had to go have an MRI. And it was weird to look at him in the eyes and see a man filled with poison that's supposed to be helping kill the cancer and heal his body, right? And he's telling me about all the things. If you've had cancer, you understand what this is. All the life changes he's had to make in his home and how it dictates all these certain things. And then he starts getting very blunt. And he said, it's interesting having cancer and going through this treatment. Because it's one thing to hear about people going through this, but it's another thing entirely to experience what they go through. And he said what it did is open my eyes and gave me an empathy and a love and a desire to see other people in this time of need as they are, as God sees them. And I listened to this man who's ailing from cancer talk about a rest and a peace that he's experiencing, these gifts that God's giving him, as he just rests in that. I marveled. He got home later, and he had posted a comment about hanging out with me, and most people that do that, you know, I get unfriended a lot. And he said, you know, I got to eat lunch with my brother, and I, not to be morbid, but those times seem sweeter to me now. So I responded to him in a text, and I said, Shane, these are the exact experiences I've had, and I've tried to weigh whether my process with this needs to all spill onto him and he needs to hear every thought that goes through my head regarding being a brother of someone, a brother with cancer, okay? And so I sent him this message because I just said, yeah, man, like, your experience being a brother of a brother with cancer is an intriguing thing for me because I've found those moments to be sweeter. I performed a wedding just a few weeks back, and I said goodbye to him, and it was the first time I'd seen him since the diagnosis, and it felt different to say goodbye. It was a little more meaningful. It felt different to say, I love you, we'll see you later, because I don't know if that's guaranteed, right? But I started seeing him through these eyes, and I was able to resonate with what he was saying. And I said, God, make this the lens that I see all people through, in terms of empathy, in terms of any situation that they may be seeing or going through. God, that you would give me that healthy perspective and that healthy peace and that healthy rest. And he said, you need to lean on my understanding for that then. Everything that I am, everything that I say that I am, you need to lean on that. Everything that I say you are, you need to lean into that. Everything that I have promised within my word to you, I will keep. Lean into that. And you know what that brought me? Was peace. That brought me rest. That brought me to a place that was different than, God, why did you do this? God, this can't be how life is supposed to be. The Word of God is living and powerful in the hearts and lives of believers. In my notes, check this out. I spelled believers, beliebers. Any Bieber fans? Oh my goodness. Maybe it auto-corrected that because I am a believer. I don't know. I ratted on myself. In the lives of the believers, unbelievers, however, brazenly reject the very word that addresses them. They echo the words of William Ernest Henley. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Friends, that's going to just give you sleepless nights. That's just going to make you even more tired. I want to jump to the bridge of the song that I began reading. It says this, I just want to live in peace, and I'm struggling to believe that letting go will give me peace. Friends, that's all that Jesus is asking of you right now, is to just let go and let Him be God in your world. Let Him be your Savior. That's the easiest part for us. But when He says, let me be your King, let me give you direction, let me give you focus, let me give you help in this, that's when we say, I got this. He needs to be your Savior. He needs to be your King. He needs to be your Lord. Struggling to believe that letting go will give me peace. Can I sit here at your feet? And Jesus is answering, yes. Because this is right where I belong. I can feel it in my soul. You say I'm right where I belong. And I know that I belong. And the chorus says this, I relent. There is nothing for me here. You can have it all. My life is not my own. You give life that is worth the loss of mine. I surrender all I have to follow you. And friends, that's the truest way to peace. That's the truest way to understanding that Jesus is Sabbath. Jesus is rest. So if you're tired today from life, if you're tired from asking all the crazy questions, if you're tired from asking the same question over and over and over and over and over again, come and sit at Jesus' feet. Be a believer in who He says you are and who He says He is. And rest and peace are going to catch up with you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you that you are the Sabbath rest for us. You always have been. You've always tried to point us, your people, to it. From the beginning of time till now, your promise still stands that you will be that for us. So God, we want to own that. We want to hear that. We want to experience that in a real way this morning. For those of us that don't know you, God, I pray that they're leaning in now. That they're listening for your Spirit. Father, I pray that everyone here is trembling with fear that some of us here might not experience your rest and your peace. Some of our coworkers, some of our family members, some of our children, some of our spouses, some of our friends and neighbors. God, you've prepared this rest for us. And all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is walk in it. God, help us understand it. Straighten these things out in our mind through the help of your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding. Give us desire and willingness to go and take this message to everyone in need. God, rise us up in this. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. So my friends, next Sunday is an awesome Sunday that I'm actually sad I'm going to miss. I have to go to another wedding. I don't know why people are still getting married. It's wintertime. Who gets married in wintertime? Okay, fall. So I got to be at a wedding, but it's going to be an awesome time of worship. It's going to be music. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere, and I'm actually sad to miss it, and I'm sad that I'm not going to be here. But what we want and what we desire out of this time is that you invite people to this. You invite people to this time of music. There's not going to be any children's programming, I don't believe, or is there nursery as well? Caleb, you remember where we landed on that? Okay. We don't know what we're doing. But there's going to be no children's, from what I understand. We're going to have families just be with families. And we just want you to invite people that don't know Jesus. Don't go rob a bunch of people from other churches, okay? That would be dumb, all right? But we want you to just invite your neighbors, invite your coworkers. Just say, hey, would you consider coming to church with me Sunday? And what this is this is a part of our God dream of us getting out of the boat, of us being willing to be uncomfortable with people, of us being willing to step out in faith and ask people that may not know Jesus if they'd just like to come and hang out with us. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised the people that you ask. Even if they tell you no, what that's going to do is open up a door with you and them. Because they're going to see something that's important to you. And I hope, again, we tremble with fear when we meet people that don't know Jesus, that don't have the promises and the rest that we experience. So, invite people. And don't stop inviting them just on that Sunday. Continue to invite them back. Find people. Just bring them with you to whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. And it's going to be awesome to watch God change this community and change the Laramie community around us. So we've got Katie up here to pray for you. You have cards? Yeah. For what? Oh, yeah. So we have these little cards out on the table. Thank you. I look so dumb. What? We have what? Out on the table, there's these I Love Wyoming cards. They're real small on the little book table and everything that we've got. And it has our service time and everything on the back. If you want to take those with you, that's just an easy way. Hey, would you want to come with me? There's no like tracked kind of Bible information or anything on there. It's literally just an invite card, all right? So if you want to grab those, that'll be an easy way for people to remember, or just send out texts or invite them on Facebook, whatever you need to do. But it's all a part of our God dream that we're bringing people with us, because if it's just us, man, the kingdom is going to be a lonely place. Deal? Read your bulletins. Come hang out with us throughout the week. And if you need prayer, Katie's up here to pray with you. All right? Grace and peace.